Tonight I want us to focus our time on what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, what it takes to be a disciple of our Savior. In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus gives us insight into following Him, what it takes, what it looks like. Jesus was speaking to His disciples, and He said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." We have a complete picture from Jesus of what it's going to take in our lives to really follow after Him. Our God has some desires. He has some things that He wants to make happen in our lives. God has a dream for us individually. He has a dream for His church. One desire that our Father has is for everyone to be saved. Paul writes this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This desire of our Father, the love that He has for us individually, to make it possible for all of us to know salvation, to know Him. He also desires for us to come to the knowledge of the truth. And both parts of this are necessary to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. We have to know salvation through Christ. We also have to learn to follow after Him day by day. In Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, Jesus shares a great commission. We focus on the first part of this often in our teachings, where we're commanded to go and tell everybody about Jesus, that we are to baptize those who believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 is also essential. It completes the picture of discipleship. Because we don't stop after somebody is baptized. Their walk is just beginning. And so in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, He issues this challenge to the apostles. At that point, after you've gone and taught about Me, after those who have believed have been baptized, you have to continue to teach them to know and to obey all the commands of Jesus. So let's look at discipleship tonight through the eyes of Christ. What does it really look like to be His follower? Well, we're going to take a look, and the words that I want to share with you tonight will give us an image of what we need to be doing to be a follower of Jesus. The first word I want us to associate with discipleship is the word learner. We have to learn about Christ. What do we often connect with the word study? If we're in college or we're in high school, and we know that we have to study for something, we often connect negative thoughts with that word. Oh, I've got to go study. I've got to go spend time in books. We should have the opposite mindset when it comes to study of God's Word. Oftentimes, when I think about a Sunday coming up, sometimes I'll use the language, I've got to go preach. It should be, I get to go preach. I have the opportunity to go and preach. That should be our mindset with study of God's Word. I get to open up God's book. I have this privilege, this opportunity to turn these pages one by one and just read about God, read about His Son. But it takes time to do that. It takes time to study. It takes effort to do that. There has to be a commitment on our part if we're going to be the type of learner that God desires. Basically, we're the student, and Jesus is our teacher. Jesus, who knows everything, we get to sit at His feet every time we open up God's book. I'm often jealous of the apostles when I read about what they were able to experience. But when I consider what we get to do, how we have God's complete manuscript available to us, on our phones, on our iPads, in our Bibles, the actual book. We have so many opportunities to grow close to God through study of His Word. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus, He was teaching. And Jesus understood that people continually need to learn. If you've ever walked on OU's campus and you're making your way up the South Oval, you come to a huge stone right there in front of the library. And it says something like this: learning is the last frontier. There is an emphasis placed on learning an emphasis placed on that library. When I'm teaching freshmen at OU, I'll always take them to the library, usually the first part of October. For some of them, that's the first time they've been to the library. They're like, oh, I didn't know what was in here. These are called books. I wonder how often God thinks that about us. This is called a book. I've written it for you. I've given it to you. But Jesus, he understands that we always need to be learning. We can never get to a point where we say, I've got it all figured out. I know everything I need to know about God. I know everything I need to know about Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, Jesus offers an invitation. And when we read this invitation, we usually focus on the rest part of it, where Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's inviting to us. That's inviting to me, to be able to rest, to have ease from our burdens. And Jesus offers us that. But that's not all he says. We continue to read in verse 29, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's more than just physical rest that Jesus is offering. It's more than rest from our burdens and our worries and our anxieties. Jesus offers us rest for our souls, that peace that only he can bring. And so Jesus, he invites us to learn from him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn. Even in this area of discipleship, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, I believe we have so much more to learn about what it takes and what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And so these are some of my thoughts as I read through the Bible and I look at great men and women of faith who have done amazing things. These are some things that I need to learn. Lord, teach me to be righteous like Noah. Teach me to trust like Abraham. Lord, teach me to lead other people like Joshua. Teach me to speak your name with the boldness of Paul. Teach me to be courageous like Esther. Teach me to endure like your apostles in the book of Acts. And I look at all of these examples, and I realize I've got a lot to learn. So much more I need to learn about being a disciple of Jesus. The apostles, they also knew this. One of the things they realized as they walked with Jesus day in and day out, and they saw the level that he was at, the closeness that he had with God, it was something that they wanted. They saw something in Jesus that they desired for themselves. And so we have verses like this from Luke 11, verse 1, where they say to Jesus, teach us to pray. Show us how to pray. We need to learn how to talk to our Father the way you communicate with him. In Luke 17, verse 5, they say to the Lord, increase our faith. They realized their faith was small. Sometimes Jesus told them directly, why is your faith so small? Why don't you have any faith? And so in Luke 17, they ask, increase our faith. One of the blessings of Christianity is the opportunity to read God's Word over and over again. I'm not sure how many times I've read through the letter of James, but this past week at preacher training camp, that's what we focused on. And all of the sermons that were developed by our young men, they came from the book of James. And every night as we were doing an exercise called Spoken English, where they would get up and answer some questions and try to get comfortable speaking in front of others, they would read their text. The text that they had chosen for their sermon, one by one they would come up and they would read through it. So I'm not sure how many times I heard James before this week, but I heard it a lot this past week. And every time I listened to that letter, Every time I heard those young men read from the Bible, I learned some more. I gained some more insight. What a blessing to be able to be a continual learner of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3, Peter encourages Christians to grow, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think the key there is Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Peter, he encourages these Christians, you need to grow in grace, you need to grow in knowledge, but if we were just going to sum all that up with one name, you just need to grow in Jesus. Because every time you read about Jesus, every time you study about Jesus, you're going to grow in grace. You're going to grow in knowledge. John reveals to us that Jesus was full of grace. He was full of truth. Full to the running over. So every time we read, every time we open up God's Word and look at His Son, we learn how to be a more gracious person. We learn more. We gain knowledge of His Son. In Romans 10, Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Maybe we're like the apostles at times. Lord, increase our faith. My faith is so small, I thought I was doing good. Then I face this challenge in my life, this illness or this struggle, this obstacle, and I realize my faith is small. And we cry out to God, increase our faith. And God says back to us, read my word. Open up my book. Invest in my son. Every time you read about Jesus, your faith is going to grow. We're here on the cusp of a new school year starting. Sorry for the bad news. I know I don't get any amens up here. I hope I don't get any boos either, but school's about to start. Everybody's boo. And as we go back to school, we're going to be bombarded with a lot of books. Books that we have to go buy. Going to be on Amazon trying to get them as cheap as we can. Let's make sure we don't forget about God's book. Let's make sure we're a continual spiritual learner. There's only one book inspired by God. Only one book that contains Jesus' words of eternal life. Only one book that shows us how we can get to heaven. A disciple is a lifelong learner. A disciple is also a follower. Being a disciple, that's really the word. It's what it means. To follow after Jesus. To follow in His footsteps. If you were going to promote Christianity, you had the mission, you had the opportunity to try to come up with a commercial that you could put on TV. Maybe it would even play during the Super Bowl in front of millions and millions of people. And your task was to somehow promote Christianity. At preacher training camp this past week, a video was being made the entire week. A guy was walking around videotaping the activities to put something together so that we could promote preacher training camp. We did a lot of good stuff at preacher training camp. We had a lot of fun activities. We had the opportunity to go to the Star. Now, the Star is the Dallas Cowboys' new training facility in Frisco, Texas. We had two groups. We were broken up in half. And we were taking a tour through this complex. It's huge. On the outside, there's two full football fields, one turf, one grass. On the inside, there's an indoor facility that the Frisco School District also gets to use. They're just taking us through all of this stuff, the weight room, the locker room, all of these places where the Cowboys train and practice. And then just as we were at the end of our tour, and we're getting close to turn and go outside to where the fields were, here comes Jerry Jones. In our group, the group that I was with, we had the opportunity to have our picture taken with Jerry Jones. I've got proof. It's on my phone. What an experience. So we're making this video for preacher training camp, and we want to encourage young men to come and preach. And we're going to put this video together. What would you put in it? Hey, you're going to get the opportunity to go see where the Cowboys play, where the Cowboys practice. You might even get to meet Jerry Jones. Would that be your commercial? Or would this be your commercial? Come to preacher training camp. where you get to study God's Word and you get to meet Jesus. Now, we know which one's most important. But from a commercial perspective, what would you choose? Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Study God's Word, Jesus. Jesus actually presents a commercial to us. A commercial for Christianity. In the words that He shared, we probably wouldn't want to use any of them in a commercial today. You want to be a follower of Jesus? Let's come up with a commercial that shows somebody denying themselves something. Somebody who perhaps is in the middle of temptation. And this person having to make that choice between Jesus or physical pleasure. That anguish that we go through in those moments. And we try to visualize here in this commercial, this person choosing God. Walking away from that sexual temptation. Walking away from the temptation of being popular, doing something that's wrong. The struggle that we have to make that choice. How can we capture that in a commercial? Because that's what Jesus says it takes to be a follower of His. We have to deny ourselves. A question that I think about continually. What am I denying myself? What am I turning away from in order to follow after Jesus? Maybe I deny myself the last word and just walk away. Maybe I deny myself some pleasure that Satan is throwing out there at me. Maybe I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone and do something that just scares me to death. Jesus also goes on to say that if you really want to be my follower, you got to do this all the time. If you want to follow after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Like, oh man, maybe I can muster up the courage to do it one time. Maybe I can find the strength to do it occasionally. But Jesus tells me that's what I need to do day by day. That's Jesus' commercial. That's what Jesus tells us it takes to be His follower. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 3, Paul writes, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints." We should not even have a hint of immorality in our life. There should not be even a hint of idolatry in our lives. That's the message from Paul. That is this picture of denying ourselves these physical pleasures that Satan is so good at throwing at in front of us. I was talking to Brett earlier tonight, and we were just reflecting on a situation that happened. And I mentioned to Brett, Satan was good that day. In that moment, what we were talking about, Satan, he was really powerful that day in that situation. And all of these things that we read from Paul, immorality, impurity, greed, Satan is just throwing it out there left and right. He's making it rain. Here's some impurity. Here's some greed. And Jesus tells us you've got to deny yourselves those things. We look in verse 4. There must be no filthiness, no silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. There's so many other verses like this where we read things that we have to deny ourselves. But that's not the full picture of Christianity. That would only be the first half of our commercial. Because Jesus goes on to say that when we follow after Him, just like His apostles, He's going to make us fishers of men. You see, that's the positive side of it. That's the complete picture. Now, some of us may just have half of the commercial. We think of Christianity and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, And we just think about all these things that we can't do. I've got to deny myself this. I've got to deny myself that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Okay, that's part of it. That's half our commercial. But that's not all of it. We need to come up with some more money for a Super Bowl commercial because we've got to show the other side. And the other side is what Jesus says right here to his apostles. Come follow me. Listen to that phrase. Follow me. Be my disciple. Be my follower. And I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm convinced that if we did a lot more of that, it'd be a lot easier for us to deny some of those other things. If we invested in what we were supposed to be doing, it's going to be a lot easier to avoid those things we're not supposed to be doing. If we keep our mind going for the Lord, it's going to be easier to turn away from Satan. We get a picture in Matthew 25, a picture of service, a picture of being active in the kingdom of God. I love what John writes in John 10. He talks about both sides of what we've looked at. The thief, Satan, he's out there throwing these physical pleasures at us left and right. The thief comes only to steal, only to kill, only to destroy. Now that sums up what Satan wants to do. That's what Satan is on a mission to do in your life. Those three words, that sums it up perfectly. Satan wants to steal what you have with Christ. He wants to kill your soul for eternity. He wants to destroy your hope, destroy your relationship with your family, destroy your walk with God. What Satan wants to do, he wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. Now, he's got a lot of ammunition that he's using to accomplish those things. Pornography is a huge one. It's amazing the number of people who are addicted to it, the number of Christians who struggle with it. And what does it do? It just steals, kills, and destroys. And we could look at so many other things. What does greed do to us? What does idolatry do to us? And then we contrast that with Jesus. We have the thief over here. This is what he wants to do. Now Satan, he's going to phrase it differently. When he tempts you, that's not what he's going to say to you. Satan's not going to knock on your door and say, "All right, I'm here to kill you. I'm here to destroy you. I'm here to steal from you." Because if Satan said that, we're not going to open the door. I'm not going to let you in if all you're going to do is steal my stuff. I'm not going to let you in if all you intend to do is destroy me and my family. I'm not going to let you in if all you want to do is kill me. Nobody would let that person in. So Satan, he doesn't wrap it up that way. That's not how he packages sin. He makes it look good. He makes it look enticing. But don't be fooled. All those things will do to us is kill us and destroy us. And now we contrast that with Jesus. Jesus tells us that I have come that you may have life abundantly. That's what I want. Satan will promise you the abundant life. He'll promise you the good life. But he can't deliver the goods. Jesus can. The thief will lead you to a life of addiction. The thief will lead you to a life of guilt, a life of condemnation, a life of regret. Do I have to keep going? Jesus, he's the only one who can offer us the good life. Christianity, it's the best life to live. Following Jesus, that's the best journey that you'll ever take. But now you have to choose. You've got to choose who you're going to follow. Being a disciple of Christ means you're going to be a follower of Jesus. One last word. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is also an imitator. In Romans 8, verse 29, Paul writes, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to being conformed to the image of his Son." That's what God has done for us. That's what he wants from us. To be conformed, to be shaped into the image of his Son. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." The ultimate goal was following Jesus. When Paul wrote this, Jesus wasn't alive on the earth. Jesus had fulfilled his mission. He was reigning at the right hand of God. And so Paul, as a living example, he wrote to this church that was struggling with immorality, idolatry, everything you can imagine. He says to them, "Just imitate me. Just do what I do, because I'm imitating Christ." There are so many portraits of Jesus that we find in the Bible. In John chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, I want you to enter this story with me. I want you to look at what's going on here in John 13. It's a story you're familiar with. Jesus, he's continuing to teach his apostles as he's on the brink of going to the cross. And he's serving them. He's teaching them a lesson of what it looks like to be a servant. And he's washing their feet, person by person, foot by foot. And he comes to Simon Peter in verse 6. And Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter completely switched his thought, "Lord, you'll never wash my feet," to saying, "I want you to wash me completely." Now, Simon was mistaken. He didn't know what was going on. Jesus told him he would understand it later. But just that thought of being saturated by Christ, being saturated by God's Word, that should be our goal. To become an imitator of Jesus. I listened to individuals who had the ability to imitate people's voices. And some of the things they're able to do is just amazing. But you have to study that person. You study their mannerisms. You study what they do. One of the things we tell the students at preacher training camp, watch the speakers. Don't only listen to them, watch them. You can learn some things from everybody. And we can certainly learn a lot from Christ. Let's look to Jesus so that we can imitate him. So that we know how to respond in situations. So that we know how to serve people, how to love other people the way he did. That's a picture of discipleship. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is an imitator. It's through our Savior that we can have salvation. And tonight, another opportunity to taste this great gift from God. If you need to be baptized into a Son, if you need to become his follower, his disciple, don't wait. Perhaps you're struggling in your walk. Maybe you're struggling as a follower. I've been there. We've all been there. And we're here to help you and encourage you any way that we can. If you have a need, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together at this time.